Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Paddock Podcast. I'm Casey, joined here by Ryan. And well, not a lot of football this week, well, Premier League.
There's been plenty of football, which hasn't been really interesting.
No, kind of don't really care that much.
I'm not a massive fan of international football, mate.
Well, when we get to a tournament, it's always a good one, but...
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll have a little chat about...
We will.
...how United have been doing in the international stage.
I'm just always happy as long as someone don't get injured.
Yeah, that was a good thing. I mean, like, I'm glad that Wan-Bissaka didn't go because, yeah. Trent Alexander-Arnold was awful against Kosovo. He just let him through so many times. Yeah. And, well, I feel like that would have been the sort of game I would have played him because left-hand side of Kosovo was where all their, like, danger is.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he didn't play and I'm glad he just kind of got a rest.
Yeah. Martial didn't go with France either, did he?
No, I think he's kind of, like, kind of on the brink of going back into that team.
I think Deschamps, still got plans for him, which I suppose for his career is great, but I'm not really too bothered about it.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's behind Giroud.
Giroud still's getting picked, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I mean. If Martial's showing he can do hold-up play, that's kind of what they still have Giroud in there for, so... We'll see what happens. But first, let's start with Rashford.
It's got to be Rashford,
England.
Isn't it?
Let's go through the England teams because we are English.
Yeah.
We probably watch England reluctantly. I watched the F1 instead and then I watched the match afterwards, the highlights. But yeah, we'll go through. Rashford for England did very well.
Yeah, he looks to me now to be sort of in the best form we've seen from him for a long time. I think even his goals... I think the one against, was it, who was the first game they played, England?
Montenegro.
I think in years gone by, when the ball fell to him, he just sort of panicking at it first time, but to take the touch, get it back on his stronger side and curl it away was impressive. And then the goal against Kosovo as well, to pick the ball up pretty much in the start of his own half, give it and go, and then his one-touch finish into the corner again is pretty impressive.
Well, he currently has 11 goal contributions in his last 10 games, which
it's more than Sauer, I think, as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very good stat. And
I think it might be more than Sterling as well, I think. I think over the course of the season, he's got 17 goals and assists for club and country. I think that's more than Sterling and Sauer this season.
He's been in good form, and people have obviously been giving him a lot of stick.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's kind of... I feel like it was always... The problem was is that he's not... One, he's not really that comfortable going through the middle all the time.
No.
And I don't feel like we had the creativity or service for that.
No, not a chance.
Now he's been pushed out back out to the left. He's got Martial to lay it off to him. He's got a bit more solidity behind him.
Yeah.
It kind of has helped him a lot.
We've seen him recent weeks for United as well. The link-up play starting to show between him and Martial. I don't think there's anyone left on the face of the earth that can debate that he's a striker now. He's 100% miles better on that left-hand side. Mm. And I think that's always been a problem with him. I think we've never really known where he's going to end up. And I think now that he can actually settle down into a position, it's going to do him the world of good as well.
Yeah, it's good to see. It's obviously, like, that partnership is only going to improve.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And if we get another player to make a solid front three, we've seen how effective that can be going forward. Obviously, like Liverpool have built their whole team around their front three and
definitely.
Then one defender. City have their a bit of a role or a like a interchangeable front three, but the front three's always been pretty
definitely
solid for them. Continuing with England, we've Harry Maguire, I mean, two clean sheets,
yeah. I think there was I didn't watch the entirety of the games, but the bits that I did watch, I think it was against Kosovo, and I can't remember who gave the ball to him, but you could tell Maguire didn't really want it in that position. But he just kept calm, kept composed, played the ball back out to Mings, and then the ball went up the other end of the pitch and he created a chance. And I think when he came in at the start of the season, I don't think he was great, but he wasn't bad. But now I think recent games, you've definitely seen him calm down, and he definitely looks, I'd say he's starting to look like an £8 million centre-half.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any... No one really looks like an £8 million centre half.
Well, I'm
just saying in the general sense of things that the money is so ridiculous.
Well, no one's worth.
The only one who is worth that is Van Dijk, and it's sad to say. I feel like Van Dijk is the only one. I'd say the way he's changed that defence so completely just by just being in it.
Not this season.
Not this season. But their attack and that has sorted them out this season. So but I would have said no defender. You couldn't name another defender that was worth that much. It was just the fact that we had to pay the premium because
that's true.
But I'm happy we got him. We need 100%, him. And like, once we get a couple more players, that'll look a lot more solid. And you're seeing that. I mean, the strangest thing is that the fact that his defensive partner is looking more and more like he'll be Marcus Rojo.
Or Tuanzebe when he gets back from injury. Yeah.
But if we get Tuanzebe, that's a whole back line. English.
I think we might have even had the conversation on the brew previously about if we get all our centre halves fit. If you've got Maguire, Tuanzebe, Lindelof, Rojo, and Beattie, I'm not going to include Jones. that they're really good defensive options if you can keep them fit.
They're a bit different as well because obviously Tuanzebe and Maguire are a bit more ball playing, a bit more commanding in the air.
I think Fosu-Mensah he's dabbled at centre half as well.
Yeah, Fosu-Mensah, I feel like he's either a right back he's not going to be a right back, but a DM.
Yeah, definitely.
Where. And there's been a lot of talk about how that might end up saving us a lot of money because we've been looking at like £60 million options in Denis Zakaria. We've been looking at who's obviously been on an international break with Switzerland. We looked at £80 million options with Declan Rice, who honestly looked terrible for England. just didn't look like he was comfortable on the ball. I don't get the hype around Declan Rice.
I think he's one of them because West Ham aren't a great team. I think he might look good in a West Ham team that isn't.
He looks comfortable on the ball in the West Ham team, but the problem is they have people who just show for him, and he kind of just does that role well. But the fact is that I feel like once you get impressed, he just isn't useful.
I'm not a massive fan of him. I mean, this season, I don't think he's done anything that Scott McTominay can't do.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Scott McTominay hasn't featured in the international breaks. He got injured, unfortunately. A lot of people got injured out of that Scotland squad. A lot of Liverpool players have pulled out of this.
Coincidentally.
I think Virgil van Dijk pulled out. I think Robertson pulled out. Henderson's pulled out of the England squad now.
Salah was out of the Egypt squad.
I know, yeah. I feel like they've just kind of dodged that because of their fixture congestion.
Yeah.
Other people have to put up with it in the past. Just suck it up. Come on. Right.
Classic Liverpool, though, isn't it? Those are the victims.
So who else we had a look at? With James Garner, if we go down into the under 19s. I think we'll stick with England. We'll stick with country, and then we'll go on a bit of a world tour. Well, in the next place, it's not going to be much of a world tour. James Garner, under 19, scored twice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think two long range strikes as well, wearing the armband. Goals from linking it to United, I think goals from midfield is something that we don't really have, especially when Pogba isn't in the team. And it's something we've not had for a long time. And I think probably with Matic looking like he's going to go as well, Pogba not being back till December, I think Garner definitely needs to start getting a few more minutes now.
So the thing is with James Garner, when I've seen him play for United, I've seen him a lot more limited.
He seems to play a lot more deeper for United.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's a lot deeper. He doesn't seem to get forward a lot more.
No. Having said that, I mean, when he featured in pre-season, I think you sort of saw him play forward a bit more, and obviously he got that goal, didn't he?
Mm. Well, I feel like pre-season always seems to give a false impression because people are a lot
Andres
less...
Andres Pereira being a key example of that.
Less afraid to attack.
Yeah.
Because there's no... Like, if you lose a pre-season friendly, it's not really much repercussion from that.
I think... including all the competitions he's played in for club and country, I think he's on about 10 goals in 17 appearances as well.
Hmm.
Which, again, for a midfielder, is very, very good numbers.
Yeah, he looks good, and obviously, again, it's another one of those options that comes with Fosu-Mensah. Is like, does he save us a lot of money in one position?
Yeah. I love Fosu-Mensah, and I think Garner's going to be a good player as well, but I still think we're going to need some real star quality in there, for now, at least. Because I think relying on youngsters is still a slight dangerous game. I mean, they have come in and proved they're good enough, you know, the likes of Brandon Williams and Tuanzebe and stuff, but, I mean, if Pogba might go, Matic is going to go. So if you're going into next season with just a midfield of Fosu-Mensah, Garner, Fred, McTominay, Gomez, if you want to put him into that equation as well, it's still a bit lightweight for my liking.
And there's not a lot of creativity there. That's the problem. Like, you don't have that world-class creator, which a lot of teams seem to need now.
Definitely. I mean, look at City's just got an embarrassment of riches in that department, haven't they?
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. So moving a bit further.
Just slightly.
Like, over a border to Wales. Dan James.
Was impressive again.
Dylan Levitt was on the bench, which is nice. Good for him. Yeah. He hasn't made any start. Has he made a start yet? I'm not sure.
I think he might. He's definitely featured for Wales. I'm not 100% sure if he started.
Anyway, as a player who hasn't played a minute of first team football, it's very impressive.
Yeah.
Obviously,
it says what the people in Wales think about him.
Yeah.
As well.
But we'll move on to Dan James, who I think has been arguably one of our best players this season.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like, that definitely most consistent, I'd say.
I feel like that is a problem for Solskjaer, because I feel like we bought Dan James with the thing of being like, he'd be a good squad player.
I think James has even come out and said that he hasn't expected to play as much as he has played this season.
Yeah.
And like you just said, I don't think anyone came in with the expectation that he was going to play pretty much every game.
He's been good going forward. He's been good press. He's been very ridiculous. Like, at the start, we weren't sure whether he could play on the right. And obviously, when he started playing on the left and scoring all those bangers, you were like, oh,
he's another left winger.
He's another left winger. But it seems to be that it's one of those cases of when he's on the right, he's a lot more creative.
I'm surprised as well how quick he's picked that position up. I know winger's a winger, but you've still got to learn different things about playing
and
on either side.
And that ball he played in for Rashford's goal a couple of weeks ago.
There's a couple against Norwich, the one against Liverpool.
The one that Rashford missed against Brighton.
Yeah. I mean, I was, when he came in, you could obviously tell that he was keen. He was eager to work, and obviously his pace is ridiculous. But obviously there was always that question of an end product, and you know, the last few weeks, probably the last month as well, he's started to add that. And I think for such a young player as well to start adding that, I mean, how old was Theo Walcott before he got end product? 28.
Yeah, Phil Walcott has over 100 goals. It's so weird.
So it's like, if James can start adding that to his game now so early, and then he's only going to kick on. I think, and again, he just seems to get better week on week.
I mean, at 22 years old, he's got a lot of football ahead of him.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Obviously, with Giggs being his manager as well.
If he gains the technical ability, like when his pace does start to fail him, which it inevitably will do,
yeah,
like a lot, you can probably see that a good player. Because he has good technical ability. Anyway, he's a bit hit and miss with it.
Yeah.
But if he can learn consistency, then this pace won't be as... It'll be an asset while he's
younger,
well,
but he
won't hinder
if
when he's older.
If he can fill out slightly as well, because the only thing I have with him is, because he's so quick and because he's so small and lightweight, if you're going at that pace and any sort of touch, he's going to send him down. And he's starting to get a bit of a reputation as a diver, which I think is unfair.
Well, it all started with that yellow card against, I can't remember.
It was Wolves, wasn't it, I think, when it was his first start.
Yeah, but there was one where he got a yellow card, and when you showed the replay, and it was at Old Trafford, I remember it being, it might have been Crystal Palace. And when you saw the replay, he absolutely got, like, cut down.
And I think with him being so, like, quick and agile, like anyone running at that speed, he's going to...
Yeah.
You're going to go down at any sort of nick, and it's not trying to cheat the ref or win a free kick. It's just literally impossible to stay on your feet. So I hope that doesn't become something that he gets tarnished with, because a lot of decisions nowadays, I think, go on reputation. I mean, prime example being the Zaha one away at Arsenal, but the one that VAR overturned. I mean, Zaha's got ref for going down quite easy. Then he got booked for a dive that wasn't a dive and then got overturned. So I don't want to see James start getting tarnished with that brush.
I'm just going to take a bit of a detour. How well do you think this England team is going to do in the future?
I'm looking
a bit further ahead. Yeah. We're looking at the 22 World Cup.
Yeah.
It's kind of in line with what our long-term plan is going to be. Like, I feel like we're looking for a team that will compete in maybe 2 years. Maybe 3 years, sort of that sort of time frame. Do you think that an England team that's doing well is going to hinder us when the World Cup's going to be in the middle of a season?
Maybe peak England.
I mean, when you're in the middle of the season, could you imagine, like, United are top of the league?
And it's just going to
theoretically, or any team is going to look, if their team is top of the league, like,
dread that World Cup.
I'm going to dread that World Cup, because that World Cup could be like an absolute, like, just start. Like, imagine, like, Liverpool went, oh yeah, Salah got injured and Mane got injured, and you'd be like, oh god.
Whereas everyone else on the face of the earth would absolutely love it.
Everyone would love it, but like, if we went there and like Rashford had been like amazing, and then he just gets cropped down by some centre back from Albania, and you're like, oh my god! Like,
I definitely think the one in Qatar, we've got more of a chance, because I think more the younger players that we have now are going to be starting to hit the peak. I mean, the likes of Rashford, you could probably say Stearns at his peak now, but he's still got years ahead of him.
Sancho,
Abraham.
He might have finally realised that Kane's not the best striker in England. Big players. But
the worry for me with England, and obviously this will probably change by the time we get to the Qatar World Cup with the likes of Foden and Gomez coming in, is creativity in midfield. I don't really rate our midfield options at all. I've never rated Jordan Henderson. Knox, he plays for Liverpool, just never have done. Rice, as you mentioned there, I don't think
we have quite a lot of youth products, because you could also say that in a couple of years James Garner might step up into that if he's starting to play regularly.
Yeah, definitely.
And Mason Greenwood, obviously, as well. So it's
one of the. I think that World Cup, it's not going to change, sadly. So I think we're just going to have to enjoy it while it's on. Fingers crossed, England can get quite far, and then fingers crossed, United might be back competing for the title that time as well. So we'll wait and see. But let's just try and keep our heads on the Euros.
Let's put it in a bit of a shoebox now and just leave it alone. So other players that we've seen over the international break.
I think we briefly mentioned it there. I think just seeing the likes of Pogba start to train again. Fosu mentoring and training. I mean, obviously, they're not playing football, but to see him start to get a bit of fitness back.
Pogba looked like he could walk about. He was at the Miami, Miami Heat game the other day.
So fingers crossed he's going to start getting back into full training after the international break and start getting some minutes back in his legs. Fosu mentoring again, as just mentioned. So that was another pleasing thing for me over the course of the international break, I've got to say.
Yeah. It's good to see more United players getting into the international teams again, because if it seemed like the other. We were talking about it, I think, last international break. There wasn't actually that many. It was a bit of injuries.
No.
True. But there weren't actually that many United players in international football, and that feels weird to me.
Yeah, I mean,
as much as I hate it, as much I don't want them to go, because I'm like, I don't particularly care. It's qualifiers. It's like, we needed to win. I mean, we needed to win or draw. If we drew these two games, we would have been in.
Yeah. But we always do quite well in qualifying anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So we didn't need to go and pull out the strongest teams.
No. It's one of them. I mean, I don't really care for England too much in qualifying. I mean, in tournaments you get up for it, don't you? And I think you always protect your club players more than you do any other players. I mean, I still hate Steven Gerrard with a passion, but whenever he played for England, I still hated him. So it's not like it's one of them. We've had a prime example during the week with the squad as well with Steele, and I think it's hard to change your allegiances like that. And I think you're always going to want to see more your players that are closer to you do better and not get injured. I mean, like I say, probably not this season, because we probably want City to do better than Liverpool, but if years gone by and Sterling got injured, we wouldn't give a shit. Mm. Let's be honest.
It's looking less and less likely like City are going to be the ones.
Yeah. Let's not talk about the title race, because...
It's a bit depressing.
Just a bit.
So other players, De Gea, I think did he make some starts for Spain?
I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure.
No, we're not. Clearly up on the international, but I mean, like, we look at the ones that seem to get starts. Rojo always seems to get a start for Argentina at some point, which is just one of the strangest.
Yeah, I mean, it's just mad that everyone's just, since he's came, he's just been a constant shit house, hasn't he? But he's actually not that bad.
No, he just doesn't know how to tackle.
But the thing is, like, people make out, he always gets sent off. How many red cards has he actually had for United?
Yeah, but then you've got to also put the little asterisks on that of how many red cards should he have had for United? Well, that Idrissa Gueye one he got away with.
There was like, two weeks. It was that, and
I still don't understand, because that was one of the worst challenges I think I've ever seen.
But he didn't get given.
No, because he left, both feet left the ground, and both feet landed on Gueye's leg.
I definitely think Rojo, obviously, he always gets picked for Argentina. He plays more left back for Argentina as well, doesn't he? Yeah. Opposed to centre half. And I don't think Argentina have ever had great defensive options anyway. So he's probably the best out and out defender Argentina have got.
I mean, like, Otamendi's not playing either. So, like, when you look at, like,
I think he's better than Miles, better than Otamendi.
Who else are we looking at? Well, I mean, like, it's hard to talk. I mean, McTominay was injured, so we can't talk about him. We'll look at the starting lineup. Fred doesn't get in the Brazil squad.
No.
I mean, he booked off.
Even though he cancels his wedding.
Yeah.
To play for Brazil.
You just look at, this is kind of like the transition. I feel like the next international break, we'll probably see maybe a lot more in. We'll probably see Martial get in.
Lingard, maybe, if he can get his back to form.
We're not speaking about Lingard. As I was telling you before, in that Brighton game, I was willing him to score, because I just wanted to see how many celebrations he's had to cycle through in that year. He's probably practiced them all and been like, yeah, I'll do this one when I score this week. Not a chance.
Like, and then a new craze has come out, so I'll do that one if I score.
Do that one. No. I really want him to do, like, you know, like the evolution of dance, like, as a celebration, but it's
start with like a Charleston and then end with like a whoa.
The past year of just celebrations he's tried to do.
It would be good.
It'd be interesting.
Save it for the Emirates, Jesse, when we go there on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Just boil some Arsenal fans' piss. It'd be great. No, but
I mean, a big play is like if I'm just going to talk theoretical today. Why not? We'll have a good chat.
Go on,
Brandon Williams. Right, if he started well at United, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm talking in the future, but like, look at the left back options at England. Really,
you got Danny Rose
and Chilwell. Chilwell is an exceptionally good left back.
Yeah, he's good.
But like, when you look at like below that, it's Danny Rose, and then kind of falls off a bit. And then Luke Shaw was there, but yeah. Like, if Brendan Williams was to overtake Luke Shaw
for United and England,
yeah, would that be injured? That'd be interesting. And obviously, I'd add another element to the England team, because you'd have someone who's an absolute nutter.
Oh yeah, he's a nutcase.
He obviously has a bit of a bite about it.
Yeah. Which is something that I feel like this England team probably does lack a bit.
I feel like something they missed when McTominay went to Scotland, which was very weird. I still find that a bit strange.
He's English.
His granddad's Scottish, yeah. Isn't it? It's like something
he's
like
from Morecambe, isn't he, I think, but originally.
Like, imagine those two players in that team. Like, they probably like, yeah. Give him a bit of fight.
That's the thing. In years gone by, I don't think it's probably changed a lot now, because I think you see there's a bit more camaraderie in the squad. Obviously, in years gone by, when it's been United, Chelsea fighting out for the title, United, Liverpool, United, Arsenal, I don't think they've ever had that, because it's always been competing, and I don't think it's only human nature. You're not going to get on with people that you're constantly battling with. But I do think there is an element. I think this England team do stick together, but we are missing an absolute lunatic in there. 100%.
Yeah, it's just someone who just will shout the odds at people and just get in.
Definitely. It don't matter how young he's got him in. I mean, Brandon Williams, what, 19, 18? Yeah.
Also, I don't think it's much longer until we swap out. I mean, didn't concede, but it was against Montenegro and Kosovo. See Dean Henderson as goalkeeper.
The goalkeeping situation with England has always annoyed me. I mean, every England manager that's coming is, so I'm picking players based off form. Bollocks. Joe Hart always get picked when he was crap. I've never rated Jordan Pickford. I don't understand anyone that does. I think he's crap. He constantly gets picked.
He does. He seems to be our starting goalkeeper. They don't want to see him try and force. I mean, I think Dean Henderson has the most clean sheets in the Premier League
exactly.
This season.
And the
games where he's conceded, it has been like he has saved a ridiculous amount of shots.
That's always been the one massive bug up my arse with England, I think. I mean, prime example.
There's been numerous down the years, but prime example.
I mean, Lingard, rightly so, hasn't been picked because he's not on form. But then, Everton are in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
So how are you picking a keeper that's conceded?
I wouldn't even mind if Lingard got picked, because if you look at this, the strength of our midfield is just terrible.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I rate Tom Heaton as a keeper. I think he's better than Pickford. I think he's more reliable than Pickford.
Nick Pope's pretty decent.
Nick Pope's decent. And like you say, Henderson's up there with the most clean sheets this season. I fail to see how he can't get games over Jordan Pickford. It baffles me. And he's just such a gobshite as well, Pickford. He thinks he's so good and he's not. He needs to fucking wind his neck in. Can't stand him.
So this podcast kind of turned into us having a chat about England. But with the United spin, obviously.
United twist.
So as it always works out. So I think that's all for this podcast. I think we've
covered everything, man.
Yeah, we've chatted enough. Ryan's got something off his chest that he really wanted to. So
football is back now, though.
Proper football is back this weekend. We are against Sheffield United on Sunday. We'll probably lose. Yeah, well... I mean, they're fifth and we're seventh, so...
I mean, I'm only saying we'll lose because...
Things are looking... That game?
No, you can't play, I don't think.
Oh, that'll be interesting to see.
I'm only saying we'll lose because things seem to be on the up, and when things seem to be on the up for us at the minute, it all comes crashing down. So, just keep it a bit realistic.
But yeah, that'll be on Sunday. I think we should have a live watch-along for that. Yeah, so that'll be on the Sunday during the match. Check that out. Leave a like on this video. Comment about what you think about what the future of like England and United together will be. Give us just tell us, have a think, tell us what you think. See if Wan-Bissaka is going to displace Trent Alexander-Arnold because he can't defend. That's about it. So thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Later.